back to the Finger Guns podcast. My name is Roscoe. This is episode 247. My God, we are getting close to 250. We've got a lot of fun stuff ahead for 250, but I'll tell you about that another day. Today, let's get excited for Josh Thompson.
Hello.
Hello there. How are you, man?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. How about yourself?
Yeah, very well, thank you. Very nice to be back in the pod. I do apologize for missing last week.
That's all right. Any excuse to host the podcast, I'll jump on it. No, it was a toss up between me and Kat, obviously, because we've done it previously, and Mars doesn't want to do it at all because he likes to be the co-star, not the star. But Kat exudes protagonist energy, so do I. So we just
See, I don't know. I don't know if it's a bit of a ploy, because like if we look at like take that back in the day, Gary Barlow was the lead. He was the hero. But Robbie was slowly in the background, just waiting for his moment. You know?
Are you calling me Robbie?
No, I'm calling Mars Robbie.
Oh, darn it. Yeah. Look alike as well, actually, to be fair.
They do.
Mars was all shaven, he'd look quite like Robbie Williams. I don't know if he'll take that as an insult or as a compliment. I would say a compliment.
Weirdly, but Mars currently lives where Robbie is from. Very
Stoke.
Interesting.
All right. I didn't realise he was a Stoke hero either.
Yeah, Sean says that he's the second most famous person from Stoke. Next to
Sean's the most famous.
that's what I say.
Yeah.
I see Mars's plan. He's just going to wait. He's going to wait patiently, and then he's going to take over and become bigger than all of us.
I don't doubt that.
Yeah, it's only a matter of time. Should we say hi to him? Hi, Mars. How's it going?
Hello there. I'm just skulking in the shadows.
Hello there.
Not that I'd be wanting to do that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I can see you there writing angels in the background without telling Gary Barlow.
I'm going to execute Order 66 one day, and I will be the Senate.
You said that like the Senate.
Oh, no. I am the Senate.
Not just the men, but the women and the children.
I slaughtered them like animals. There we go. See, this script reading is going to happen one day.
Master Skywalker, what are we going to do?
There are many of them. We're bad people. We're really bad people.
But that kid was a shit actor.
He was annoying as hell, wasn't he? Like, I'm not saying like they deserved it, but goddamn, like bordering.
I'm glad he got slayed by Anakin Skywalker.
Jedi absolutely. Dry lunch, I would call them.
Down. Yeah. And regarding the hosting, yeah, I just think Josh and Kat do have that protagonist energy a bit more than I do, to be fair. And I don't get to, you know, introduce myself with hello there if I'm the host. I have to actually host. And
you could do one better. You could introduce our listeners to the hello there.
I mean, that actually does sound appealing. I feel like you may have just sealed your own fate. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, maybe. Maybe one day. Maybe.
Like Swords of the Fate. God, you would have thought we were a Star Wars podcast, not a fucking video game podcast.
I mean, I'd do a Star Wars podcast.
I would totally do a Star Wars podcast.
I would 100% do that podcast.
the Revenge of the Sith live reading podcast is still in our back pocket.
Just like the Linkin Park one was in production for like a good year and a bit before it happened. It's the same here.
Oh, God. How exciting. How exciting. And no, we're not going to do every film, just Revenge of the Sith.
The best one.
The best one. Come at me, Star Wars bros.
For once, we finally agree on something. All of our other things that we like, we don't agree on, but this we do.
Kat couldn't make it tonight, so it's just the boys. Just the lads.
Boys.
Having it large. Yeah, we're not those kind of people at all, as you can probably tell if you're a fan of this podcast. But we do pretend that we're lads, having it large in Ibiza on the podcast. Does that come across?
Yeah.
All right, cool. All right, let's talk about video games then.
Woo!
This is our game of the week. Josh, what will be your game of the week?
I'll talk about Ocho, shall I? I've gone through a couple now, and I'm kind of like trying to remember what I can and can't talk about, but I can definitely talk about Ocho because that review went live this week.
I have been curious how to pronounce that. Is that how you do it? Is it Ocho?
Yeah, Ocho. Yeah. Okay. It's funny, the Steam page even says Ocho because I'm guessing people look at it and be like, Oxo Cube? I don't know. Oh, maybe. Yeah, so Ocho is a top-down shooter roguelite. Think of maybe Hotline Miami, but with roguelite mechanics. It's gritty, it's noir, it's bloody, it's gory, and it's completely action-packed, balls to the wall. I think Miles reviewed it prior on PC release last year and kind of compared it to Crank. So if you know about that film, Miles loves it, for one. That's why he made the comparison. But it is an apt comparison, because it is like putting a jump start cable to your tongue and electrocuting yourself, because
because
it is
Jason fucking
adrenaline-fueled.
Statham.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there's not much to add about that, apart from that it's a lot of fun. It's very hard. I was under false pretense when I did really well my first couple of runs. I actually got through a few of the bosses. There's about eight in total that you have to go through. You start again without any of your perks, without any of your weapons, as roguelite is the genre. And then you start again with the same gun. It's like an M1 Garand, and you get a free drink, and it's a random drink that comes from a bar or from a staff member who kind of lives in this mansion that's kind of everywhere and nowhere. It's like an ethereal plane almost. I would compare it to maybe purgatory or hell, if you kind of dig into the subtext of the game, because it's not very forward with how it tells the story. It does a lot of like little lore hints through readings that you get in random rooms across your runs, so you don't really get told, spoon-fed the story at all. And yeah, so you get your perks, which are your drinks from the bar. They can range from shooting like John Wick, where every shot is a headshot, to just having increased damage for a certain type of weapon, because you've got your pistols, your SMGs, your LMGs, your assault rifles, snipers, and so on and so forth. And it's all about just shooting as many people as you can in as stylish as possible, whilst using enough variety that you get enough money to get your upgrades. And so yeah, there's like there's a decent loop to it, and if you kind of are bad of it, it doesn't really hold your hand in that regards. Like if you are struggling, you will just struggle for the rest of it until you get better, which is a little bit unfortunate. I don't begrudge it for that, because it's very intentional on how the game plays. It's not like it's difficult to a fault. It's just it's not going to be for everyone to play. But other than that, if you love your Hotline Miami and you want something new and fresh, then definitely check out Ocho. It's now out on PlayStation 5 and 4 and on Nintendo Switch, and it came out on PC as well last year.
Yeah, it does look wild as hell, and I think Crank is a really good comparison to it. So it's it's insane. And go and read Josh's review, which is now live on thinkingguns.net. Ocho.
Yep.
I got it. Miles, what'll be your game of the week?
Oh, Roscoe, I've been like blessed. I've had a good time of codes.
You've had a good week.
I really have. It's been a very, very productive week. There is one that I think we're going to talk about as part of a separate thing. So I'm not going to talk about it in Game of the Week, because it's going to get a lot of spotlight already, fully deserving of it.
So I think it's got enough spotlight, that game.
Yeah, it's getting some attention, you know? It doesn't need all of the spotlights. Just one or two will be fine. One or two is fine. So I thought I would talk about an early access title called Sentry, which is kind of like a mix between a first-person shooter and like a wave defense. I don't even know how to describe it. It's like a wave defense game where you kind of set traps and you get money from killing enemies, and then you can set more traps to kill more enemies until you win the battle, and then you carry on. And it's really kind of cool. So the gunplay is quite kind of, it's like standards are competent. And I think that's by design, so that you can't just Call of Duty your way through like waves and waves of enemies all at once. But the basic idea is that you're in a ship, humanity's been destroyed, you're a sentry, you have to guard the last of humanity on this ship as it travels through space to escape. There's aliens hunting you, and effectively, as you're kind of progressing to get to these gates on like the map, you'll be attacked by other ships, which then breach your ship, and you have to kill off everything that moves. And so you have to lay down traps, shoot a lot of enemies, and then keep doing that until hopefully you succeed. The kind of trap and gun variety is actually quite good at first. It does need some expansion. It does get a little bit repetitive after a couple of runs. And the campaign is still relatively lightweight. There's only like two maps to traverse, which probably took me about 40 minutes to an hour, maybe, for a successful run. And then you restart and go again. But you get to keep, say, for example, if you get like a blueprint for a new weapon or a new trap, you get to keep that so that you go into the next campaign with those that you can then craft and create. But the flip side is that all of the enemy types that you've then encountered also start and get being encountered from the start of your next campaigns. It's very challenging. It's super hard. I love these kind of games, and it kicked my ass on my second run. And it's just got a really good kind of foundation. They're going to add co-op later on, which I think is going to be a really cool feature for this, of the two people effectively trying to defend four different doors at the same time. I'm really intrigued as to whether they make you share resources, because I can imagine if I have a co-op partner and they throw traps down in really shit places, I can't imagine I'm going to be a very kind friend to be a sentry with. So I'll be very intrigued to see how that works and how they progress with it. But yeah, it's currently out in early access via Steam. And I'd probably say at the moment, I haven't checked the price on it, but it's not got a whole lot of content, but what is there is good. It's really kind of enjoyable. And I'd say there's probably about half a dozen hours worth of a good time in here before it really starts to get too samey. Yeah, I'd recommend kind of checking it out. And then I just want to say that I finally finished Rebirth. I'm not going to say anything, but things happen.
Things happen.
Things happen. That's my synopsis. That's my review of Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. Things happen.
I just came off a 72-hour week at work. I am 4 hours into Rebirth. I've still got so much to experience in that game.
I am 71 hours ahead of you. That's how much game there is.
Titty fucking Christ.
There is so much game here. Like, so, so much. In fairness, I have done all of the side content and I've played like all of the mini games as I've gone along. So I reckon if you skip out a lot of the side stuff, you can probably do it in maybe 40 to 50. But I think the side stuff, some of it is very worth doing because you do get extra story bits and added context and stuff, which I think is quite valuable for the story. But yeah, you've got a lot of game ahead of you, Roscoe, and you've got a very, very good load of game ahead of you.
No, oh, mate, I cannot wait.
I'm excited. Wait.
I'm having such a wonderful time so far. The other day I was playing through it and I was like, this might be my favorite game ever made.
Yeah,
and I'm 4 hours in.
Yeah,
I might be wrong about that, but at that moment I was like, "This is just fucking perfect. This is unbelievable."
I'm really excited for others in Finger Guns to finish it so that we can properly discuss it, because I had the same feelings as you 4 to 5 hours in, and having finished it now, it's going to take something to top it as my game of the year for this year. So that's how I'm going to leave it, because I don't want to like spoil the experience for different people. I think people will have slightly different feelings towards it, but this is just a sensational video game. Like, objectively, what Square Enix and the development team have done here is just wildly incredible. So yeah, you've got a lot of good times ahead of you, Roscoe. I'm excited for you. And Josh does as well. He's still on chapter 4. He's going to go back. He is going to finish it.
Yeah, maybe once I beat Rise of the Ronin.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. You do have to, though.
Right then. So, a wild Sean Davies has appeared.
Oh, my God.
Yay.
Just connecting now. Hello, bud. Hello.
Hello.
Hey, it's Sean Davies, ladies and gentlemen.
Hello.
How you doing, bud?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Good, yeah, I'm all right. Is your USB mic? Are you using your USB mic?
Yes.
Okay, oh, there you go. It's a bit clearer now. That's better. Okay, cool. How's it going, man? Thank you for joining us.
It's a pleasure. It's been a while.
It has been a while.
It's been like nearly 12 months.
Nearly 12 months. That's crazy. It's crazy considering we started this podcast medium, and now you're back.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this, you know, passing of the baton into much more talented people than I was absolutely the right choice. But, you know, jumping on when I can.
Absolutely. Well, we're in the middle of the game of the week. And yeah, what's your game of the week?
My game of the week. Ooh. Football Manager.
All right, cool. Let's talk Football Manager.
Man, that game. just absorbs all of your time. It's just such a crazy engrossing game. And for whatever reason, suddenly got this cold vibe for wanting to play football. I guess it's because we're coming to the end of a very tight season for my Stoke City, who are fighting relegation, and also probably the tightest Premier League race of all time. And now I want to, focus on the football, and I seem to be in between Final Fantasy and getting fucking bugs in Final Fantasy. And Rise of the Ronin, I'm just playing a lot of Football Manager. So, yeah. It's a real good time for gaming right now. A real good time.
I assume you're playing on PC.
I am,
Football
yes.
Manager. Yeah, because console Football Manager is still hell on earth.
Yeah, I bought it on PlayStation, the last one that came out, and yeah, these controls are still contrived by the devil
Yeah.
to torture us all. It doesn't make any sense. And it's not intuitive in the slightest. Press this way to go this box, and then you have to press a button to enter the box and then scroll down. Come on, man. I just want to see the players and transfer and things. It just takes four times as long.
Yeah. So, some consumer advice: if you're playing Football Manager, stick to PC. It's much easier.
Has
Much
anyone played
easier.
the phone editions recently?
No, I haven't done a touchscreen edition version of it.
Okay, I was just wondering because that could be dangerous, but also quite enjoyable, I guess.
Yeah.
If I could play
Yeah.
it while at work, on the toilet, on the bus, or buzz, depending on which, what the country you're from. Yeah, that could be all consuming.
Yeah, that could mean divorce, though. That's just be careful, dude, right?
Yeah.
Just be careful. Yeah.
It's worth it. Worth it.
what's my game of the week? I guess my game of the week, the thing I've played the most really, is Stellar Blade and the Stellar Blade demo. I know everyone's got kind of opinions on it, so it'd be cool to hear everyone's thoughts. I kind of liked it. I kind of liked it. I kind of didn't. I in very much enjoyed the opening. The introduction to that demo was really cool. It was a really fun set piece. The design of the enemies are pretty wild. It's just the combat. I didn't love it. It's maybe because I'm playing Final Fantasy at the same time, and I just love the combat in Final Fantasy Rebirth, and I find it so intuitive and so easy to get my head around. But this Stellar Blade kind of took a step back for me in that because it's a lot more I don't know, parry based. It's like parry and blocking, and that ain't me. It ain't me. I just like going in smashing with a giant Buster Sword, but it's visually it was really, really nice. I love the movement of your characters, and it looks like there's going to be kind of an interesting story evolving. Yeah, what did everyone else think of Stellar Blade demo thus far? Josh?
I had played it early-ish Friday, kind of like in the afternoon, and I texted Miles and I was like, "Have you downloaded the Stellar Blade demo yet?" He's like, "No, but I'm going to just to check it out." And I was like, "Get ready to be fucking fuming over it." And he was like, "Why?" I was like, "Because you're gonna want to have to buy another game for April, even though we thought we were just gonna have a break for a little bit of big games, because." Yeah, I'm frustrated. I didn't want to buy another game like this at this price, but here I am really considering it because I had a really fun time playing the demo.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally get that. It's I liked like I said, it was great. It was great. I don't think I'm gonna buy it, but I will thoroughly enjoy living vicariously through it for you guys, as I
I
do
got
with
you,
most
brother.
games these days.
I got you. I got you, brother. Don't worry.
Sure, did you play the demo?
Yes, I very much enjoyed the demo. And yes, it is instantly on my to-do list, which grows ever longer. But it's that gig, that kind of Souls-like, but not Souls-like, that's like really appealing. It's not a total shitbird. It's just nice enough to play.
Well, that's
Apart
awesome.
from when you're in the skin suits, which is, unfortunately, folks, if you want to be nudie, it's more difficult.
I'm terribly sorry for your loss.
I'm so sorry.
Miles, are you buying just another one? No, you're gonna have to pick up.
Yeah, I'm fucking raging. I was so excited to not have to buy a game, and I didn't care about Stellar Blade basically at all. I liked the trailer of it, but I was like, yeah, I'll wait until price drop. And then I played the demo, and now I really want to play it. It's fun. After you finish the demo, you get to like unlock like another boss that you get to fight as well. And I was just like, this is so sick. Like, it's just really good. I don't like the dodge mechanic, but the parry mechanic is absolutely sick. And there's something about if a parry mechanic is like really good in a game, it's really satisfying. That shit's like smack straight into my bloodstream. Like immediately, it just makes me want to buy the game.
Damn.
So yeah, luckily I'm going to be away the weekend that it comes out, so that might help me not pay full price for it, but I suspect when I get back, it will just be purchased immediately and immediately played. I need help.
Yeah, I can't see it going on sale anytime soon.
No, I think it's going to do quite well for itself.
I think it's going to do all right.
Yeah, I think it's going
Yeah.
to be okay.
It's going to be fine. We don't have to worry about Stellar Blade, I don't think. All right then. Right then, let's get to the quiz. Miles, nice 1 to 10 question and answer quiz. Yeah?
Yeah,
Yep.
if the questions are ones that you look at, then yeah, absolutely, you're correct.
God fucking damn it. We're gonna have to explain it to Sean.
I know, Sean, we're doing a screenshot quiz now. We're branching out.
I've been really curious how you do this. So I'm really excited to see what the hell happens here.
It's quite the experience. I'm
It's a
gonna
really
just tell you
smart
that.
idea for an audio podcast, isn't it?
It works.
For an
Listen, the
audio
feedback has
medium, it's
been
a really smart idea.
nothing but positive feedback. I'm just
Damn
gonna
it,
say that.
Lindsay.
I was
Damn it,
gonna
Lindsay.
say we haven't had a single complaint. We've had a couple of compliments, so currently it's a 2-0 advantage.
Hey, Lindsay. Hope you're doing well. Hope you're enjoying Spider-Man. She just got Spider-Man.
Oh,
So,
what a good game. What a
have a
good
wonderful
game.
time playing Spider-Man.
And enjoy this quiz again.
For the love of God, do I have to? Yeah, I do, don't I? I have to
Yeah,
send you the
please.
thing.
Thanks. Love you.
Ah!
Okay, actually, I don't want
I'm
to
just
share the
mad
first one
because I
immediately.
could have absolutely smashed the last week
I was going to
quiz
say
that I was
there's
that I
bitterness
completely
in
missed. Yeah, I'm just angry.
Yeah, Sean probably also would have very much liked Lux in last week's as well.
Oh yeah, me and Sean would have gone toe to toe pretty hard last week. It was all PS Gamer, PS4 era games like Rapture and Edith Finch, and it would have been a close fought contest, one would imagine.
It would have been a good time. I think Josh stole it instead.
Yeah.
As he is always wanting to do every week. Okay, let me pull this up. Right, you ready, Sean? This is like the height of professional quiz mastering that you will ever see in your life.
Okay, I'm ready.
You're not.
I'm really not. My body is not
You're
ready.
really not ready for this. Okay, so the rules are as soon as I show the picture, you put your hand up. Whoever puts their hand up first gets to guess first. If there is a nanosecond in it, you just got to hope that I manage to see your hand go up first.
That's
And
reactions and raise hand,
yes.
just to confirm. And if you are playing along whilst listening, you can find the screenshots on the Thinking Guns website for this post,
Because we like
the
to make it
podcast post.
interactive, you know? Please remember to put your hands down between the rounds because I made that mistake a couple of weeks ago and it caused carnage. So I'm going to try and avoid a repeat of that if possible.
Yeah,
I know that's going to challenge Sean because he's going to want to do it now.
You could also delete your Stellar Blade nude mod tab as well
No,
whilst you're at it, just before we start the quiz.
that's for everyone to just enjoy in the interim
Oh,
between the rounds. Come
okay.
on, I've
Brilliant.
got to give you something to get you through these quizzes, you know?
Oh my God.
Okay, let's do this. Are we ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Sean is the only one.
Gabba the
Okay.
snuff, what is that?
It
Miles,
will change your
please
life.
close these things before you
Stop
open
knocking
them.
it, right? You haven't even tried it yet.
All right,
Jeez, come
fine.
on. God, I'll send you it after and you'll love it. Don't worry.
All right,
Number
then.
one, go. Oh, Roscoe.
That's a Lion King.
I love how Sean went for the poo emojis first thing. And yes, it is the Lion King. Oh, okay, poos and hands away, please. Thank you. Number two. Oh, Roscoe.
That's Earthworm Jim.
That is Earthworm Jim. Damn. Right, God. He's playing the gauntlet down this
I'm
week.
glad you said that, and I didn't embarrass myself by saying Toe Jam and Earl.
Would have accepted. No, good. Number three. Roscoe again.
Oh, what's his fucking name? Oh.
Oh, I'm in here. I'm in here.
What's his
David.
name?
Ah!
I'm gonna have to count you down.
Oh, no, I'm out.
Three.
I'm out. I'm out. I'm out. I'm out.
Josh, you were just ahead on the next one.
It's Leisure Suit Larry, but I
It is.
couldn't tell you which one it is, but
That's
hopefully that's
okay.
enough.
It is Leisure Suit Larry. That was the answer that I would accept, so I didn't need the specific one
Something
you
about a wet dream. I know that's a game title.
were. Yeah, there is one. What was the other one? Oh, I can't remember now.
Magna Cum Laude was a PlayStation one, I think.
There was one that was like something comes twice, maybe something like that. Anyway, we'll move on from that one. Number four.
Hang on.
Sean, you were first on that by a nanosecond.
Saboteur.
That is the Saboteur. Well done.
Bloody is the Saboteur. These games are filthy, Miles. You really are looking at the Stellar Blade new board.
I'm going all in now. Now we're getting to like the depths of like the
Now
barrel that I
we're
have
gonna
for
get
this.
Mafia next with all the playable he makes.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, we're going all in now. Like GTA ones, hot coffee mods, everything. Number five. Oh, Sean. Again, just ahead of Josh on that.
Fucking No More Heroes.
That is No More Heroes. Well done.
Well, but hang on. Is it No More Heroes 1, 2, or 3?
One.
Is one.
Oh, damn
It was a good
it.
effort, to be fair. That was a
Nice
good
try.
effort. I appreciate the effort put into that.
You tempt us, Scott. Hopper.
I tried.
You really did. You gave it a good go on that one. Number six. Oh, Josh.
Stray.
It is straight. Well done.
Good shout.
Well played. Sean, I'm loving the fact that you have a different emoji every single time.
Oh,
Like, there's no repetition here.
that
He's
one's
going to have
moving.
gifts coming up next. Number seven. Oh, Sean.
Vanquish.
Oh, nice. It is Vanquish.
Love that game.
That game is so sick. So sick. No.
Remaster at Sega.
Yeah, I was going to say, I bought the re. The ports onto PS4 or 5 or whichever one. I need to play it again. I can't wait. Number eight. Oh, Josh. Just ahead of Sean on
Metal Gear Rising Revengeance.
that. It is Metal Gear Rising Revengeance and the
That'll
full
do.
title. I like it. Roscoe, it's your favorite game. Come on, don't lie.
I had to review that.
Please don't tell me you gave it a bad score. Oh.
I can't remember, but I don't think it was glowing.
Oh, didn't know
Wow.
what you had.
I'm sad for you.
Or am I thinking of that other Metal Gear thing that came out?
Yeah, maybe. Metal
Rising.
Gear Ground Zero? No, not Ground Zeroes.
No, the post.
Survive.
Yeah, the post-Kojima one. Survive, that's the
Oh
one, isn't
yeah,
it? Yeah.
no. Rising and Survive, they don't belong in the same conversation breadth at all.
Okay.
One is very good, one is definitely not. And spoiler alert, Survive was not good. Number nine. Oh, Josh.
Spec Ops the line.
It is Spec Ops: The Line. Well done. And
Gosh
then
darn it.
number 10. Josh again.
XCOM 2?
It is XCOM 2. Fair play.
Oh.
I fully thought you were going to say the first one. Which leaves us with a winner of Josh on 5 points, Sean on your return, you got 3 points, and Roscoe, you had 2 points. Pretty good
Not happy
quiz.
about
I'm sorry, mate. I'm sorry. Listen, I had a great quiz for you last week. A great one.
that. That was a
So
great quiz. I have no idea how people listen to this, but it's a great quiz.
am I. Well, at least we enjoyed it. That's the main thing.
I was going to say this week's was really good, but not because I just won, but like the games were just that little bit top shelf, you know?
Yeah, I just want to throw out some like more, I guess slightly more interesting ones than I guess some of the obvious ones.
It was very well done, Miles. Well done.
Thank you, friends.
Yeah, that's
Thank
great.
Thanks, dudes. And well done, Josh. Another win. That's what, 72 weeks in a row?
Yep.
Damn, that's some
It's really
streak.
frustrating because I've won so many this year.
You actually have.
But apparently I haven't.
I think you actually won the most this year. Which
Yeah,
is
doesn't
funny
matter, does
because
it?
you hate this format.
I do. I hate it with a passion. It's completely, it's so frustrating.
It's kind of part, I'm not gonna lie, it does like give that extra bit of oomph to keep it going just that little bit longer, just to see how long you'll suffer this before you just ban me.
Yeah, we're getting there. We're getting there.
Like, you have the power to just throw me out or just not even give me the screen share, but you still do every week. So I think a part of you kind of likes the thrill of it.
Should we just move on?
Yeah, let's move on.
Okay. Oh, God. All right, let's get into some news. We've got a few to go through, but yeah, we may not get through all of them, but we'll get through the interesting stuff at least. Take-Two have acquired Gearbox. Who saw this coming? Take-Two is acquiring Borderlands to make a Gearbox from Embracer for $460 million. This is over at VGC. Mr. Jordan Midler. Jordan Midler, I should say, not Miller. Embracer Group have announced that it has sold Borderlands developer Gearbox to Take-Two Interactive. The sale, which amounts to $460 million, will see Gearbox become wholly owned by Take-Two, which already had an ongoing relationship with the developer through the Borderlands franchise. Quote, as a significant long-term Embracer Group shareholder, I believe in the strategy for the Embracer Group going forward, and I'm completely convinced that this transaction is the best possible scenario to an obvious yet positive arrangement for Embracer Group, for Take-Two, and of course, for Gearbox Entertainment, said Randy Pitchford, founder and CEO of Gearbox Entertainment. My primary interest is always Gearbox, especially our talent and our customers. I want to personally assure fans of our games that this arrangement will ensure that the experience we have in development at Gearbox will be the best that they can possibly be. This still sees Take-Two gain the rights to Borderlands, Tiny Tina's Wonderland, as well as Homeworld, Risk of Rain, Brothers in Arms, and Duke Nukem. Studios included in the deal are Gearbox Software, Gearbox Montreal, and Gearbox Studio Quebec. So, yeah, another day, another acquisition. Miles, how are we feeling about this one?
I feel like in about a year's time, there's going to be a big documentary on Embracer Group and how they went from the saviors of all these video game franchises and companies to suddenly not being the heroes of the video game industry. I feel like 2K and Gearbox have worked together a lot already. Obviously, the Borderlands series is the biggest one, but they have a lot of other kind of franchises under that kind of wing. I think it's a good acquisition on 2K's part. You know, they're already established franchises. They'll make a lot of money. They can probably monetize them as 2K or want to do in a lot of their series and their games. So it kind of feels like it makes sense. I feel like for Embracer, it helps stabilize the financials, which will hopefully save some other jobs, projects, and other groups under their wing at the moment, because it sounds like it's a bit of a disaster. And the main thing is just people keeping their jobs and being able to keep making really good games that we want to see more of. So yeah, I think as the statement kind of alludes to, it's kind of a win for all parties. 2K get a very good studio or publisher under the wing. And Embracer Group get some much needed funds to hopefully start to salvage the ship a little bit. And yeah, Gearbox can just go on making more Borderlands games, which sadly don't interest me in the slightest. But luckily we have someone else on this pod who loves Borderlands games to cancel that out.
Talking of that person, Sean, how do you feel about this acquisition? Now that there's going to be enough Borderlands games to fill up probably a spaceship to go into the sky.
This is bonkers, isn't it? This is...
Oh, it sure is.
So, Embracer bought Gearbox in 2021. They released Tiny Tina's Wonderland, the only game that was released during their ownership, and then have sold them to Take-Two. It just doesn't make any sense, does it? Just like the amount of money they have lost on this investment is... eye-watering. I think it was 1.3.
Right, I was going to ask, how much did Embracer buy Gearbox for?
I think it was in the billions.
Right.
So, you know, it's an absolutely eye-watering loss for Embracer. It's great news for Gearbox, who, you know, get to essentially work with a partner that they've worked with for a very long time. They get to continue making the games that they want to make. Probably. I can't imagine the purchase would have gone through if Randy Pitchford hadn't, you know, had his say in this. But Embracer really have just shit the bed. I just cannot believe that they did that. Like, I've sang Embracer's praises a lot over the last couple of years, but this just feels like a massive mess. I just don't understand why they didn't. How they haven't been able to capitalize on, like, essentially what is a money tree of Gearbox. You know, the two games that have come out are Tales from the Borderlands, New Tales from the Borderlands, and Tiny Tina's Wonderland, which It's just why? Okay, I just
Yeah.
it's great news. I love the Borderlands games. They are a massive time sink for me. So as long as they can keep coming, I'm happy. But it just this did not make good business sense in any way, shape, or form.
No, yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. It's a very bizarre scenario. Yeah, like Mars said, the Embracer story is one that is kind of fascinating at this present moment, because they seem to be shelling everything that they got so excited about a couple of years ago.
Which is, it's, I mean, there's a lot of positives about Embracer. You look at their CEO, and he's one of the least highly paid CEOs in the entire industry. He takes, a tenth of what Bobby Kotick was taking, and, he wasn't that more highly paid than the rest of the kind of executive team. So, it's a good sign that they kind of, he's not trying to essentially make insane profits, but also, what a weird story. And you're right, this movie, it's going to be on Netflix. No, it's going to be on it's going to be Apple, and it's Apple TV. It's going to be an Apple TV series, three-parter, about how some weird little THQ Nordic turned into Embracer, bought half the industry, and then ended up selling half of it back. Wild.
Wild. Josh, is there anything from the kind of Gearbox back catalog that you'd like to see remade with this new deal or brought back or anything like that?
Outside of Borderlands, I'm not quite familiar with Gearbox's game. I've got to be really honest with you, because I feel like they've been doing Borderlands for so long that any game prior to that is something that I'm not like completely aware of. I know you mentioned Duke Nukem, and that's just a game that's going to be from a different era and staying in a different era. I don't think they'll ever bring that back. But yeah, I think just overall, Borderlands is having a movie coming out now. So it just makes total sense to just capitalize on Embracer's loss, essentially, which is a shame for them, but they shouldn't have been so misguided from the start. So yeah, it's I've got nothing much else to add apart from that. I'm not a fan of Borderlands, but I'm happy for everyone that's probably going to get the best stuff.
John Davies.
Are you telling me that you don't want to see the return of that looter shooter that never was? Oh, Battleborne, that was it.
Battleborn.
The
I just want Colonial
MOBA.
Marines 2, to be honest.
Oh no, it's getting ruined.
Well,
It has to come up every time.
that's what I saw when I just did a quick Google whilst I was stalling for time, and I was just like, Aliens, Colonial Marines. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
Maybe
there's.
I know it
Sorry, go
says
on.
Half-Life here at the top, but and then you've got Brothers in Arms. But yeah, Borderlands, it's just the bread and butter these days. And for 2K probably saw that, Embracer are down and out, and Borderlands is still kind of making money in a sense, and it could still be a franchise that will live on for another 10 years at least. And they just thought, you know what? Why not? Why not put a little bit of cash in to try and make a bit more?
Yeah, I mean, it's yeah, the like I said, Borderlands is gonna kind of keep going and going and going. Duke Nukem Forever was, I think, the last Duke Nukem. Whether or not that was enough to see the franchise free for the future is probably unlikely. Homeworld, I think the last Homeworld was trash, wasn't it? It came out to kind of negative reviews, or am I thinking of something else? I'm thinking of Homefront, actually, the Revolution. That's what I'm thinking
Oh
of.
yeah, Homefront. Yeah, that's a very different game. I think
Yeah.
Homeworld 3, I think it was quite okay, I think. I can't actually remember, to be fair.
That's one for Yogg to talk about. I think he could probably do a whole pod on his own about
Yeah,
Homeworld 3.
that's Yogg's domain, that one.
Yeah.
Fair enough. All right then. Well, that's Take Two being acquired by Gearbox. We'll have to keep an eye on that, see where that goes in the future. Very exciting. Now, I don't know if any of you guys have ever used the PS5 game help feature, something that only appears to happen if you actually play a first party PS5 game. But it's getting a little bit more better. Is that English? I don't know. PS5's game help feature is expanding with user-generated videos. Players will be able to share gameplay clips as hints for other users to watch and rate. This is VGC, Mr. Tom Ivan. Sony will expand PS5's game help feature with the addition of user-generated videos later this year. Game help launched alongside the console as a PlayStation Plus benefit that lets players access hints, tips, or walkthrough videos created by developers without leaving supported games or via the PlayStation app. Quote, community game help will add to the current game help experience by expanding the library of helpful game hints, incorporating videos that are automatically generated from gameplay footage of players who have opted in to contribute, according to Sabrina Medit, the Senior Director of Product Management and Platform Experience at Sony Interactive Entertainment. Quote, when the enhanced game help experience features content from the community launches, game help will be available to all PS5 players with or without a PS Plus subscription. The ability to opt in to share gameplay videos will be made available at some point over the next few months, ahead of Community Game Help's launch as part of a PS5 update. Josh Thompson, how do you feel about this? Have you ever used Game Help to get you through a game on PS5?
Not necessarily Game Help, to an extent. It was a feature I did try for, I think, maybe Stray, just to kind of see what it was like, because there's so few games that actually utilize it properly. And for it to work well enough, that I just wanted to give it a go for something, because otherwise I'm quite the trophy hunter. I will do a lot of Googling, a lot of YouTubing, and find out where I need to find something if it means cutting a few corners in minutes and hours of time. I'm sorry if you're a purist and you do it yourself. Good for you. I still got my plat. But this is, to me, the first question that comes to my mind is, how curated are these videos going to be from creators? Are we going to have people really, really kind of monitoring how these clips come about, and what are they like? Because people can play games. People can show you how something is to help you in the process, but they could suck at playing games. And it could be painful to watch. And it might not even have enough context for you to kind of get the information that you require. I, funnily enough, today I did look up a guide for a certain trophy for a review game. And I watched it, and there was just zero context prior as to where I should be. Just that it was a clip of what happened, and I was supposed to emulate that. And for me, I was just like, okay, well, I need to know the chapter. I need to know where in the chapter, and I need to know, you know, what, you know, just a couple of directions maybe that could help me kind of actually gauge what I'm doing. So for me, that was like one of my first experiences of being like, do you know what, this person, they're making money on YouTube by making guides, but this is a crap guide. So I just hope that there's a little bit more to it than just community help. Like, that's almost like when people submit art and be like, we'll use your art. And it's like, so basically you're not paying them for some work that they've done. That's quite a negative spin on it, but that's kind of where it could lead to, of like, the community does the work instead of just paying a team to do some work for the game, because it's usually a first party title anyway. So you're just not expanding resources essentially and saving money by creating it.
Yeah, it is interesting. It would be nice to see it expanded into further games, because like you said, there not that many games have actually utilized it, I think, over the no. course of the PS5's life cycle. I did use it for one game. I'm not going to say what it was, but I got a bit stuck. And it was Sackboy's Big Adventure, all right? Okay, let's just get it out there. I got stuck on Sackboy, and I needed game help. And it was there for me when I needed it, you know? Oh, dear.
One of the few games that used it really well, I think, Game Help.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I think I may have just checked that just to sort of check it out, and it turns out it actually became very beneficial and very helpful in that regard. But Sean, do you use Game Help for your trophies, or are you more of a purist?
I have used it. I also used it on Sackboy's Big Adventure because...
Oh, that thank was, God.
It was the best usage of it. To date, you're right in that respect, because I think, you know, there was some collectibles. You'd complete a level and you'd be like, I've missed something, and those videos that they put together would like really well done. And you could go, oh, of course that's where it is, and you could just go and get it. It was fine. I think it'll be like Josh mentioned, it'll be interesting to see how well these things are curated, and how this is put together, because obviously there's this new kind of dashboard system coming to the PS5, and how prominent this is within it. I know that, if you try and look at clips of people that have put content on there via SharePlay currently, you'll get like a list of the most popular videos. So it might be that that's the way it works, that people find a good video, they share it, and that's how it gets more views, and that's how it rises above the usual crap that you get on there of somebody just doing it without any context. There's nothing worse than looking at a guide, and all you get is, like Josh was saying, essentially, I don't know what I am. There's certain things that you like in a video guide, which is like, show me on a map where I am, show me a little bit of text. And if they're going to do that through their studio, the editing, that if you could include the edits as part of that, that would be fantastic. It's also interesting to see how this is going to be monetized, because obviously there's a lot of people that are making a lot of money from guides online. And you look at PlayStation Trophies and all these, they do video guides, and I can't pronounce the website, is Knuf or something like that. Anyway, there's a very, very popular trophy guide person who does video guides for trophies, and it'd be interesting to see if there's going to be any kind of monetization attached to this, because if there is, if somebody could potentially benefit from it, then I imagine there's going to be a lot of effort put into making these videos and making them good. But it also might impact some of the monetization for YouTube, so it might come with a bit of a double-edged sword for those people who are making the videos for YouTube, who lose a bit of cash if this system turns out to be excellent. So we'll see. It's a positive step, it's a good tool, and hopefully Sony can make it so that people don't have to press pause, pull up the phone, pull up a video, find the bookmark within that video that's related to that particular trophy or whatever, and they could just go, oh, I'm stuck here, press a button, and there's the help. But we'll see.
I
I'm
think
hopeful.
this is something that Stadia touted, wasn't it, when it first got revealed, that if you were stuck in an
Yes.
area, you could press a button and you get taken to a YouTube video or something.
I don't think that ever came to fruition, did
No, it never came to pass, much like a lot of Stadia's promises.
it?
No.
What could have been?
Indeed. God damn it, Google. Miles, I imagine you turn your nose up at Game Help. You're like, I don't need you. I'm Miles Thompson, damn it.
No, to be fair, I used it on Spider-Man 2 for that gliding trophy. Because
Did
for
you?
exactly, yeah, for exactly the reason that Sean just said, of I couldn't be bothered to go online to look up the route. And when I pressed the PS button and I saw that, oh, it could show me the route, I was like, sick, I'll just do it here, because it saves me having to go do a bunch of other things to get there. It's super lazy. But yeah, I think like the Game Help as an idea, I think it's a nice integration, and it kind of just makes sense. Like being able to just press a button and then instantly have something available to just give you a nod of where you need to go or how to do it, or to bring up a clip of how it can be achieved, is just, it's ease of access, and it's really valuable. So I don't turn my nose up to it at all. I can't say I've used it in many other games, like Spider-Man 2, and I think I may have even, when Astro Bot first came out, I can't remember if that had it or not, but I feel like I may have done something like that with Astro Bot, just to kind of test it out. But I don't feel like games use it enough, because the convenience of it is really the primary motivator. And I think, yeah, not having to go on your phone to look up various guides, load up a page 600 times to find collectibles and stuff, it is a pain in the ass. And if there is a system that can navigate that more easily, then I'm all for it. Like, if it makes my life easier, then I don't mind it at all. But I think, as has been kind of suggested, like, the impact on, a little part of me is a little bit gutted that there's going to be a bit of moderation, because I'd love to see how people manage to troll like the clips and stuff. because I just think of like when I'm on like a Souls game and like obviously like the notes that get put down, whatever, aren't moderated or whatnot. And it's just people being like, jump forward and you roll straight off a cliff and die. And it's like, I would have loved to have seen the community would have just trolled people like that because it would have been amusing, but it would spiral out of control, unfortunately, way too quickly. So yeah, I think it's a good system. It's a good idea, but it's also that that kind of cynicism thing like Josh alluded to of like, it's kind of so just using the community to do a bit of work, but also fosters like a helpful community feel of like people submit clips because they just want to help other people do things easier. And that's the best thing. So yeah, I think it's a good move. I think it makes sense and it'll just be determined by the moderation factor and how well that's done. And again, it just depends on if games actually utilize it properly. I imagine games might be able to opt out of it altogether. So it'll be interesting to see how it's integrated and how they implement it.
Keep going left, keep going left, keep going left. Oh, you're dead.
What was it on Elden Ring, it was like whenever you came across a turtle, it'd be like, look, dog. And I was like, what? It's just like, I need more of that in my life.
That Spider-Man 2 trivia I did completely accidentally.
Oh, did you? Fair play.
I just went for a glide, and before I knew it, the trophy popped.
That's pretty sick, to be fair. That is pretty sick, because it's like a very specific route you have to take to be able to do
very
it as well.
Very specific, yeah. And I just sort of followed the wind, and I wanted to see how far I got. Yeah, the trophy popped as soon as I made it across the river. I was like, oh, sweet.
Basically, what you're saying is you're a better gamer than me.
I would never, ever claim such a thing, Miles, but if I can have this one thing, then I'll take it.
You got it, man. You got it. You're a better gamer. We're declaring it now. You take the title. You got this.
Yeah. Yay. I feel like I can't really brag about the football anymore because we were utterly horrendous yesterday. So I'm going to take this.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I'd say take this instead.
Yeah. Yeah, I will. Okay. All right, then. Let's talk about the PS2, shall we? Why not? Jim Ryan, who has now left Sony, claims that the PS2 has now sold 160 million consoles and it remains the best-selling video game machine ever. This is VGC once again and Mr. Jordan Midler. Outgoing Sony boss Jim Ryan has claimed that the PS2 has now sold 160 million units. In an interview on the official PlayStation podcast to mark his retirement, Ryan was asked to discuss what he associates with each of his decades at the company. When asked what he associated with the 2000s, Ryan replied, quote, I would say 160 million, which is the number of PS2s that we sold. Whilst already the best-selling video game of all time, best-selling console of all time, I should say, the previously reported number of PS2s was around 155 million. As Sony has long since stopped reporting on the sales of its second-generation console, this is likely the final word of the sales on the seminal console. Now, there's not really a lot to discuss here, but I was curious, sort of looking back, because I know the Switch is very close to beating the PS2, but it may have a little struggle on its hands now because of this extra added 5 million consoles that they claim to have sold. Sean, have you got any kind of like fond, what's like your fondest memory of the PS2 era? And do you see the Switch leapfrogging it anytime soon?
Yeah, I think the Switch has probably got another 4 or 5 years of leg in it, to be fair. I mean, the PS2 was just a revolution, wasn't it? I think it was the console that kind of really took gaming to that next level, where, you know, it wasn't just games, it was experiences, it was, you know, properly engrossing worlds to get into. And for me, piracy did a lot for the PS2. Because you could buy a console and actually, to be fair, you never had to buy another game because you just get these copied games. And that's kind of something that's helped the Switch too. Because you can get these carts that would have got plenty of Switch games on them. You know, it's funny to think that, like, actually the two consoles that are probably scrapping it out for what many would consider like first place in terms of revenue, etc., is so hot on with piracy, but the Switch these days isn't so much of a concern. But obviously they've sold an absolute truck ton, made the money. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see if it ever does overtake it, and whether Sony should ever consider just releasing it again, doing a little small run just to keep it out in first place.
Well, you like know. James Cameron does with Avatar every couple of years.
Exactly. You know, somebody's sneaking up on me. I better do another cinematic release. This time with a, enhanced audio or whatever. You know, just like a super slim PS2 or something that, might just push it over the edge. I think it's really great the fact that the PS2 has kind of stood out there for so long, because I think obviously now we consider games, it's such a massive market compared to back then. And I think it's a real testament to how successful that console was to say that it sold that many back then, when the market for gaming was smaller. And now you look at, how many gamers there are, game people who play games, it's so much more bigger. More bigger? So much bigger. And it still stood out there in that testament of time, of what of an achievement that is.
Absolutely. Yeah, I remember only ever owning, because I was very much a Microsoft Nintendo kid, so I bought a PS2 to play San Andreas. And once I beat San Andreas, I didn't really have much use for it, so it kind of became a DVD player for me for sort of like the longest time. And I think originally that was one of its major selling points, wasn't it? That it was a relatively cheap DVD player at the time.
Oh yeah, I had a couple of family members that had bought it specifically because it could play DVDs, and I don't imagine that my great auntie ever played a game on it, but she did have a PS2 sitting under a TV, so
Nice.
maybe she was really into Spyro. I don't know.
Maybe.
Maybe she's a closet
Silent Hill
Spyro
2.
fan.
That's what we're playing. Maybe
Yeah,
she was a
you
master at Snake Eater. You never know.
know.
Josh, sort of same question, really. The PS2 era and the Switch coming hot on its heels.
Yeah, PS2 is kind of like my first console properly. I definitely had the PlayStation 1, but it's one of those things where you did it as a kid, but you didn't really, well, at least for me, I wasn't someone that knew what it was, what it meant, what it did actually. I just kind of played the game badly because I was too young. So PS2 was kind of like the first time where I was really getting into video games as a whole. And yeah, I think what you said as well, DVDs. I know for a fact that it was cheaper than a DVD player because that's the only reason why we got one. And I think my dad even picked it up prior to its official launch for a little bit extra, which is strange because he beat Tomb Raider 1 with a guide and then retired from video games because he said that was too stressful, too hard. And he was never going to put himself through it again. But thank the Lord he still continued picking up consoles because otherwise definitely wouldn't be here. And I agree with Sean as well. Switch has got so much more time on its hands. Even with Switch 2, the Switch is just going to become more accessible, perhaps, like cheaper, because Switch 2 is now the more expensive, more shiny model that they can kind of afford to take a little bit more of a hit on Switch costs and selling them for a little bit cheaper, bundle deals, what have you. And I think the sales for the Switch is actually far more impressive because it is actually targeting an audience of just gamers. There's no other peripheral reason to own a Switch outside of just playing Nintendo games, basically. So yeah, it's the numbers are crazy. Jim Ryan loves to talk rubbish. I don't, he's really I know that, it's the send off podcast, but it's really like one of those, like, you're like tapping him out the door and he's like, oh, and then another thing. The PS2 sold so many. But yeah, love it. Love the PS2. Probably one of the best consoles.
For sure, for sure. Miles, yeah, same question, really.
Yeah, I really liked the
Do you even know what a
PS2.
PS2 was?
I did, of
Yeah,
course I
were you?
did.
Yeah.
I grew up with an
This old
N64 and a
relic.
PS1. They were my first consoles. So,
Wow.
well, they weren't mine, they were my brother's, but I just annoyed my brother relentlessly until he let me play them. So, again, like Josh, they weren't really mine. I didn't appreciate them for what they were, and the PS2 was the first one that I did. So yes, I'm not that much of a baby. I didn't start the PS3, I promise. Just mostly.
I know you're a year younger than me, and I've not been put to this question. I've hit 30 now. That's it. I'm just fucking old.
was gonna say it's gonna
Prepare
get
for
to
it, master.
July. All this kind of banter is gonna stop. I'm not gonna be young anymore.
Nope.
Yeah, no, my favorite part of the PS2 was just the gauntlet game you play as to whether it would load the disc or not, or whether you'd get like the red aura, which would tell you, oh God, I've got to take it out and pray to God that I can breathe on it heavy enough to make it work. Or whether it would just load first time and you get the beautiful little sound effect. I think Sean and Josh have pretty much covered everything on this, but I think the Switch does have more life in it. I think it's been quite a revolutionary console in its own kind of way. And the fact that Nintendo managed to bring out what was a power-wise far inferior console and somehow managed to make it so successful and to maximize it for so long, I think it's just a credit to the ingenious work they put into it. And the PS2 was the same at the time. It was just a sheer powerhouse, and it just changed the landscape of who would play it and brought loads of people in. So both great consoles. Don't really care who ends up with the accolade. I think they're both equally deserving in their own ways. So yeah, hopefully they'll both just continue to do well. And I wouldn't mind a PS2 re-release. I'd probably buy one, not gonna lie.
Would a PS2 classic like those little mini consoles, would they count, do you think, to the overall score?
They shouldn't, but they probably would count them, I imagine.
You should.
Yeah.
I guess if it's like. Oh, sorry, Josh.
Sorry, this was going to be a tangent question. I was just, are we prepared to say that the startup noise for PS2 is better than PS1?
Oh.
No, that's. Yeah, it is. It is a better noise.
Oh
No,
there we go.
I like the fact that it would like the PS1 would like destroy my eardrums every time.
Yeah, it would blast the windows.
Like there was something just weirdly satisfying about
Oh, just that smash. It's almost like Steve Austin coming into the ring. That, like,
coming in cold.
yeah.
But none of them were as good as a GameCube. We can confirm this, right?
I never had a GameCube, so I didn't get them.
Zoom.
That can get in the bin.
Oh, just when then.
That shot down as soon as he took flight.
I don't need that every time I turn my console on. I don't need a chirpy. I'm about to play Resident Evil. I don't need.
Imagine having that before you load into Edith Finch.
It was good, Russ. I'm sorry.
Thank you. That's all I wanted. All right then, let's get into recommendations. This is how we find something throughout the week that we want to share with you, our loyal listener, whether it be a game, a movie, a TV show, a book, or a suitcase. I mean, it really could be anything. We've recommended some wild things over the last few years. Who was looking for Miles? Why don't you kick us off with your recommendation?
I don't really have anything as a recommendation aside from
We
Rebirth,
do this
or
literally every week.
I know, but I just don't. All I can do is just play Rebirth and my review, James Roscoe. I'm sorry, but I do have a slight non-recommendation.
Okay.
It's Planet Zoo.
No.
It's absolutely. It controls horrendously on console, and I even said to Josh, I was like, so for context, it's the same developers as who made Jurassic World Evolution, which I'm a big fan of, as we know, given that I've reviewed almost every DLC that's ever come out from them ever. And somehow they released Jurassic World Evolution in 2016, and it controls pretty good on console as far as games of like management tycoon type games work. And this one came out in 2019 on PC, has just come out on consoles this year, and somehow the control scheme is absolutely horrendous to the point where I want to smash my head against a wall repeatedly. And I just don't get it. And there's this really fun little mechanic where you have to have keepers to obviously go in and look after your animals and feed them and stuff. You know, they're kind of important. Otherwise, your animals just, you know, don't bother living. So you put a door in for them, and then they just complain that they can't get into the habitat, even though there's a door for them, very specifically only for them to go into. And I just cannot get my head around this game. It's driving me berserk. So, as much as I really wanted to like it, because I thought it was just going to be Jurassic World Evolution, but with pandas and shit, no. The pandas don't eat the bamboo because the keepers won't go in to give them their bamboo because they can't get through the door that I put in for them. And no, you can't lock the door. So, it's not like I've locked them out. I think they just want me to, you know, hire them a private jet and deliver them straight to the food bowl.
Oh dear.
So it's not good on console. I don't know if the PC version's better, but I don't recommend getting it on console. So it's a happy non-recommendation this week.
The PC versions did all right, I think. I think it's got it's up there on Metacritic.
Oh, well,
It's
I don't
just
know if they just botched it here.
they fucked it.
Yeah, they really have got it. Like everything just it's like the menus are laggy, like you go to input on something and then it swaps to something else at the last second, and so you click on the wrong thing. If you like buy an animal or like a bunch of animals to go in the same enclosure, you have to select them individually, put them in, then go back on the menu to select the next one and put them in. Honestly, I just don't get it. I don't understand how they managed to take all the things they'd already done so well and somehow make them worse. I'm baffled.
It's always a mission, isn't it, for these PC simulator games to transfer over to console.
Yeah, it is tough.
They need to get whoever designed the UI for 2-point games, they need that guy or woman
I think that
to
is the problem, is that we have 2 point. So I'm like, well, someone's done it right.
Yes.
So you can do it.
Oh dear. Well, that's a shame.
Yeah, it is a bit of a shame. So yes, I'll be writing up a review for it, but we'll see.
We'll see indeed. Sean, what would be your recommendation this week?
My recommendation is firstly, thank you, Miles, for saving me £35.
You're so welcome. I'm so glad I've done that for you.
I'm still probably going to get it at some point. As soon as it drops below that £20 mark, it's mine.
Don't do
But
it. Don't do it.
there'll be a patch. I have faith. My actual recommendation is an audiobook, but it's more so much of like an audio performance called Assassin's Creed Gold. So this is like a standalone story set in the Assassin's Creed universe. And it's not so much a book read out, but it is actually like an audio play where you can sit and listen to it. The reason why this works so much is because you follow the story of a blind assassin. So obviously it's played out purely in audio, and that makes so much sense. It's set in like the 1600s in London, where you meet Isaac Newton, and it's incredible. It is a really great story. That if you like Assassin's Creed, I can almost guarantee you're going to like this. It has a lot of nods towards the game series. Some characters from the games pop up, if only briefly. But it's definitely worth your time if you're looking for something to. Like, the way I've been listening to it is to put it on for like 15, 20 minutes before bed, lying in the dark, listening to a blind assassin experiencing everything that they would experience and the way that they experience it. And I think it's a really great medium to tell that kind of a story. So, yeah, that's my recommendation.
That sounds awesome. Is that on Audible?
It is on Audible.
Wicked. I'll have to go check that out. I've got my one free Audible thing to use up. So yeah, maybe I'll use it on that.
There you go. Get on it.
All right then. Maybe I will. Josh, what would be your recommendation?
So, my mum has come up to my house for the weekend for Easter, and we share a love for Mission Impossible.
Oh yeah.
And Dead Reckoning is, of course, currently on Paramount Plus. So, I've subscribed to that for a month, and we enjoyed Mission Impossible, Dead Reckoning. I guess it's losing the part one, but the movie does not lose it. It still says it in the title. Yeah, didn't enjoy it as much as maybe the last couple. Still a good time though. Maybe a bit long. However, something released on Paramount Plus this week that I really didn't pay much attention to, despite hearing pretty good things about it. And that is the TV series Twisted Metal. And I don't have a massive affinity for Twisted Metal. It was one of those where I was probably a bit too young to be able to play them, so I didn't. However, the clown Sweet Tooth, him being like the mascot for the series, is something that stuck with me my whole life as a visual. So, you know what? I thought, whilst I got the subscription, I'll give it a go. And yeah, it's so stupid, ridiculous even, but I absolutely am having so much fun with it. Just go into the series not taking it with any sort of serious notion, and you'll have a good time. If you really are nitpicky about dialogue, this one isn't for you. If you really want to take yourself a bit seriously, this one's not for you. Maybe watch The Curse on Paramount Plus with Nathan Fielder. Because yeah, this is not that. It's action-packed, it's hilarious. I have sort of not disliked Anthony Mackie, but kind of fell out of love with him since seeing him more in like promotional stuff and some of the Marvel stuff. But yeah, he's hilarious in this. He's got so much charisma, he's so funny. I think her name's Stephanie Beatrice from Brooklyn Nine-Nine. She's funny as well. Sweet Tooth, as far as I know, I'm on episode five. I'm like halfway through it, is not in it nearly as much as I'd like to, because Samoa Joe, who's doing like the body acting, and Will Arnett, who's doing the voice acting, is an incredible duo. The episode alone where it introduces him is phenomenal. And yeah, just check it out. I thoroughly recommend it. I actually am considering going to premium on PS Plus so I can try check out the Twisted Metal games that are on there. And I'm so upset now that Sony have cancelled the rumored Twisted Metal live service, because I want one for this generation after seeing this TV show.
They have not aged well. I'm just gonna say that.
Lies.
I'll give it a go.
They are not good anymore. If they updated the controls, perhaps, but maybe I'm too old, maybe I'm too senile, but I didn't enjoy it when playing it. But
I
you
get
might,
it.
you might, you might,
It's
you might, you might love it.
like Cat with Tomb Raider, like knowing the controls and kind of just us all aging with how controls work, that there is a little bit of pushback against the old controls. But yeah, I'm sure it's still great vibes.
No, I'm sure it is. Yeah, so that's Twisted Metal on Paramount Plus, available now.
Yeah,
I was going to
certainly
ask if
is.
you had seen anything recently. I was going to ask if you'd seen Sydney Sweeney's unborn child being ripped out of her by nuns yet.
No,
No.
I've watched Anatomy of a Fall. Thoroughly
Oh, nice.
recommend it.
Very nice.
Saw Eileen as well. That was a great film, worth checking out. That was going to be my recommendation until today, when I started watching Twisted Metal and thought, you know what, fuck it, we're a video game podcast. Let's talk about a video game TV show that's actually good. I'm not looking at you, Halo. I'm sorry.
Nice. All right, cool. Yeah, that's great. What be mine? I guess in a kind of similar vein, I've been jumping into the PS2 classics or the PS1 classics on PlayStation Plus recently. And the one that I've been playing the most is Cool Borders, which is a game from yesteryear, which I absolutely loved. It's not as good as 1080 snowboarding on the N64. I'm just going to say that because nothing ever will be. But it's a really fun snowboarder, and it really is a test of your bloody concentration and your focus. It's a game that really has that old school Tony Hawk kind of vibe, but it's kind of obviously just snowboarding instead of skateboarding. And yeah, I'm not great at it at all, but I'm having fun with it regardless. Hoping to get better. There's no kind of real tutorial. There's no instructions. They just throw you in there, and you got to work it out as you go along, and that's all part of the fun. So it's all part of the, playing these classic games and playing these old school games. And I think that's probably why I was kind of turned off the Twisted Metal a little bit, because I had never played it before, and it didn't do anything for me. But if you have that nostalgia hit, then maybe it will. But something like Cool Borders, which I hadn't played before, but I was aware of, was a game that I'd always wanted to try. And it was nice to have it available. So yeah, I'm having a good time with Cool Borders. I like jumping into the classics on PS Plus and seeing kind of like what they add to it and things like that. It's fun. I'm also playing the Ace Attorney trilogy kind of on and off at the moment as well. I'm really trying to stick with Rebirth because I've got so much of Rebirth to play yet. But you know what it's like, video games, they just keep popping up. And like I played Shadow of the Tomb Raider today. I don't know why, but I just had an inkling to play it. I had an urge to just play it for a bit, and I did, and it was fun. And it's just one of those things. I can't stop. And Rebirth is sitting there going, dude, you pay 70 quid for me. What are you doing? And yeah, I know. I'm working on it. I'm getting there. And but yeah, Cool Borders is probably my recommendation. Actually, just check out all the classics, as it really is becoming a really pretty great catalogue now of games that are available. And so, yeah, it's worth a look. So I guess my overall recommendation would be the classics catalogue on PlayStation Premium, because it's, it's doing all right. It's doing all right. Well, I guess that's it, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you all very much indeed for listening. Don't forget, if you want to follow us, you can follow us absolutely everywhere. Just go to the link tree in the description below to find us in all the places. If you want to follow us on Twitter, you can at FNGRGNS. If you want to follow us individually, all of our handles are in the description below. Except for Miles, of course. He's smart and not on Twitter. If you really like what we do, why not follow our Patreon? For $1 a month, you can keep this podcast live on its various podcast hosting services and keep the website nice and shiny. And hey, if you really, really like us, why not leave us a review over at Spotify, over at Apple? Give us 5 stars if you liked us, 5 stars if you didn't. What does it matter to you? It really matters to us. It keeps us in the search engines and it keeps us in the discoverability. You type in video games, our podcast should pop up all nicely if you have given us some positive reviews. So do go and do that, and let's make the Fingers podcast bigger than ever this year. That is our goal and intention. So please do leave us reviews. They really, really matter. Thank you very much indeed. But until next time, we have got an extra special podcast coming out this week all about Beat Slayer. It should be up actually on the same day as this one. So yeah, you've got double the podcast to listen to this week. Go back to your feed, find the Beat Slayer special. It's a really, really cool game that's coming out this week. And well, yeah, you can't miss it. It's going to be a really, really good time. And we were lucky enough to interview one of the developers. So do go and check that out. It's a really fun conversation. But until then, it is goodbye from Sean Davies.
Toodles.
It is goodbye from Joshua Thompson.
Bye, everyone.
And it's goodbye from Miles Thompson.
Well.
And it's goodbye from me. I'm Roscoe. Until next time, my friends, this has been the Finger Guns Podcast.